Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, vaccines for kids. This is an issue you're going to see all across the media. We give you the truth. And then we also have the bombshell actual tape of one of the FDA panelists that admits that he wants your children to be experiments, living and breathing experiments. Are you okay with that as a parent? You should get fired up about this. And we talk about what's going on with the pharmaceutical, technological, and scientific elite running our country. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from you. And we have the smartest listeners in the country. I'm just so blessed by you guys. So if you see something that you like that we say, I love hearing from you. If you disagree, I love hearing from you. And if you have a point of correction, that always helps us too. I want to thank those of you that support our show, charliekirk.com/support. Mario from Michigan, thank you for supporting us. Catherine from Georgia, thank you for supporting us. Jeanette from Paradise Valley, Arizona, thank you for supporting us. Rebecca from Florida, thank you for supporting us. Ryan from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, thank you for supporting us. Olga from Atlanta, thank you for supporting us. John from Bennington, Nebraska, thank you for supporting us. Esther from Washington, thank you for supporting us. Carl from California, thank you for supporting us. Rebecca from St. John's, Florida, thank you for getting behind our work. Taylor from Parker, Colorado, I'll be there in a couple days. And Wendy from Diamond Bar, California. CharlieKirk.com/support is how you can become a team member, where you can assist us in our goals to grow, to flourish. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And if you want to become a team member, and if you like what we're doing, if we have blessed you in any way, please consider going to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. We are incredibly blessed by all of you that get behind us and support us. So thank you for doing that. charliekirk.com/support. Come to America Fest, everybody, December 18, 19, 20, and 21. America Fest at tpusa.com/amfest. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. We have some amazing speakers coming, including Tucker Carlson, Kayleigh McEnany, Candace Owens, Donald Trump Jr., and now newly announced Senator Rand Paul. Now, a lot of people are country music fans, and so here are some of the musical guests we have coming to America Fest. Lee Greenwood, Ray Lynn, Brantley Gilbert, Russell Dickerson, Adam Dolek, and DJ Silver, just a few, at tpusa.com/AMFEST. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out right now. We hope to see you in Phoenix, Arizona. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from you. And if you guys want to come to Phoenix, Arizona, please go to tpusa.com/AMFEST, the event of the year. Vaccines for kids, bombshell revelation, where they admit they want to experiment on your children. No exaggeration. You'll see what we mean. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. I want to get into the story here. I want to thank all of you that have subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Great content out there. Check it out. 17-0. 17-0. The panel for the Center for Disease Control, I don't even know if it's the panel, it's an FDA panel. It's an emergency youth authorization panel, part of the medical industrial complex, has approved vaccinating children ages 5 to 11. 17-0. The state of California has now expressed that it will follow suit in mandating vaccinations for children. So before we go any further and we go into the absolute stunning bombshell quote from the person who was one of the panelists, FDA panelists, Dr. Rubin, when you hear this quote for the justification and the explanation of the safety or the lack thereof of vaccinating children, it'll take your breath away. This quote should be plastered on every newspaper, every social media feed across the country. We'll get to that in a second, but let's take a step back. Why? Why do we need to be vaccinating children? Are children at a considerable risk of dying from the Fauci virus? Are children at a considerable risk, absent other daily activities, from dying from the virus? The CDC's own data, which has been published, shows that children 1 to 4 year olds per 100,000 deaths, the most common death is drowning at 2.8 per 100,000. Then vehicle accidents at 2.3 per 100,000. Homicide, 2.2 per 100,000. Cancer, 2 per 100,000. Cardiovascular disease, 1 death per 100,000. Flu and pneumonia, 0.8 deaths per 100,000. And that's annual deaths among children per 100,000. I'm not exactly sure how they tabulate this, but the numbers themselves of what actually they're the most at risk for is very, very helpful. A child is 4 times more likely, ages 1 to 4, to die from the Fauci virus, to die from flu and pneumonia, than from the Fauci virus. 4 times more likely. And that's the CDC's own data. 0.2 for COVID. How about children 5 to 14 years old? Is there a massive risk of children 5 to 14 years old? Such a massive risk that we now need to forcibly inoculate children using either Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna vaccine with side effects that are growing and questions that are increasing? What's the number one cause of death for children ages 5 to 14? Answer, cancer. The next cause of death, vehicle accidents. So if a school is going to be consistent, if a school is going to start mandating vaccines, if the state of California is going to be consistent and start mandating vaccines, they need to say young children ages 5 to 14 are not allowed to ride in cars anymore. If it's all about safety, it's the fair thing to do. Children ages 5 to 14, no more riding in cars. No more being a passenger in a car. A child is 9 times more likely, let me say that again, 9 times more likely to die in a car accident than from the Fauci virus. Suicide. A child is 7 times more likely to die from suicide than from the Fauci virus. A child is 3.5 times more likely to die from being a homicide victim, ages 5 to 14, than from the Fauci virus. A child is 3 times more likely to die from cardiovascular disease than from the Fauci virus. A child age 5 through 14 is about twice as likely to die from drowning than from COVID. A child is more likely, ages 5 to 14, to die from flu and pneumonia than from COVID. And a child age 5 through 14 is equally as likely to die from suffocation than from COVID. So if we're going to be consistent, we now need a well-funded, top-down national campaign that says that children ages 5 to 14 are no longer allowed to drive in cars. The science tells us that, everybody. The new prerogative from the top is that we no longer are going to tolerate anyone dying from anything. Any form of risk, any allowance of liberty must be clamped down, and we must say no movement of people. And yet we have a 7 times more likely chance for young children to die from suicide than from the Chinese coronavirus, Fauci virus. Yet what are we doing to stop that? We're doing the opposite. We're masking our children. We're canceling their sporting events. We lock down their schools. We are dehumanizing and depersonalizing young children. We're getting them addicted to their devices that have a now proven link to mental health issues. So what is behind this massive push to vaccinate children ages 5 to 14? It certainly isn't the annual deaths among children in the United States. The CDC's own data shows that cancer, vehicle accident, suicide, homicide, cardiovascular disease, drowning, flu, and pneumonia are considerably larger risks for children ages 5 to 14 than from the Chinese coronavirus. And yet the Food and Drug Administration's panel, which is largely bought by Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and BioNTech, because everyone who sits on that panel is going to want to work for them someday, is going to want to benefit from these multi-trillion dollar companies' collective value together, they vote 17-0 in favor of this. 17-0. And now the state of California says that they're going to mandate it for young children ages 5 to 14. And this is specifically behind the Pfizer vaccine. And medical exemptions and religious exemptions are being denied all across the country. So before we try to prescribe a solution of the vaccine for children, and we already have all the questions around the leaky vaccine. We did an entire podcast with Daniel Horowitz about this, about how the most vaccinated countries in the world have the highest virus transmission rates, that a vast majority of deaths in the United Kingdom are actually vaccinated people. We've gone into great detail about that. But before we go any further and we take the bait of the medical industrial complex and the pharmaceutical elite, we need to ask the question, what is the problem we're trying to solve? Is there a massive reason to now forcibly inoculate children? 70% of deaths in the United Kingdom recently were vaccinated. 70% of deaths in the United Kingdom. And wait till you hear this quote. You guys are going to have to stay right there. The quote from one of the doctors on the panel will take your breath away. It's Dr. Rubin. I was so stunned when I read this. I made Connor find the original context, and it is exactly true what was said by this doctor on the panel of the Food and Drug Administration when it comes to the safety of the vaccine. Every mom and dad needs to hear what this doctor has said. This needs to be plastered in national news about when he was asked about, is this vaccine actually safe? And we're going to go into the myocarditis rates. We're going to go into the rates of adverse events when it comes to the vaccine. What's the problem we're trying to solve? Or are we just trying to make the pharmaceutical companies richer? Give the billionaires more power? It sure seems that way. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says, relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. Dr. McCary, I think I'm saying that right, did a study where he looked at tens of thousands of children who were infected with the Chinese coronavirus, and they could not find one instance of a child without pre-existing underlying health conditions who died of the virus. Can you get the exact numbers for that, Connor? This is such a stunning study that gets almost no coverage at all whatsoever. My research team at Johns Hopkins began to analyze approximately 48,000 children under 18 diagnosed with COVID in health insurance data from April to August 2020. Our report found a mortality rate of 0 among children without a pre-existing medical condition, such as leukemia. 0. What is the issue now? So why is there now a concerted push to vaccinate children? 48,000 children he studied from John Hopkins, his research team, Dr. Macari or McCary, and did not find a single death. The death rate was zero. So let's ask a question. Who's getting powerful, more powerful and richer off of this? Who's benefiting from this? So now it's time to actually talk about the quote from the Food and Drug Administration's panelist when asked about the safety of the vaccine for children. And we're going to go through all the numbers. Dr. Rubin, is he the guy that always goes on CNN? I don't know. Anyway, Dr. Rubin, FDA panelist. By the way, do we have conflict of interest documents from all these FDA panelists? Do we know if any of them are being paid by Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and BioNTech? Do we know that? Maybe not. I don't know. The FDA panel, here's what he said. Dr. Rubin, every parent listening needs to write this down immediately. Quote, "We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. That's the way it goes." I'm going to say this again. This is a guy who's voting to approve the vaccine to be used on your children. We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. That's the way it goes. So this is the equivalent of Pelosi saying we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. We have to vaccinate your children to find out if they're going to die. Now, excuse the graphic nature of this, but explain to me how this quote, "We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. That's the way it goes," is different than treating your children like lab rats. That is a, I know that's a graphic thing. How is it any different? We're going to find out once we start giving it. So what? Your children are going to be test cases or beagles in cages. Your children are going to be experimented on. How is that any different? We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start administering it. For parents out there, are you comfortable with this? We just got an email here, freedom@charliekirk.com. "Charlie, my 16-year-old daughter took the vaccine 4 days later, ended up in the ER with the Chinese coronavirus and myocarditis. I asked the doctor if it was vaccine-related. He was hesitant, of course. His doctors are, many doctors are bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry. Said no, but I could see he wasn't convinced and he wouldn't look up at me. My daughter's thankfully well now, but has concentration issues." And we see thousands and thousands of emails like that, freedom@charliekirk.com. The panelist says themselves, "We don't know how safe it is. We just got to start administering it and we'll figure it out." And this is Malthusian, everybody, where it is utilitarianism gone wild. That we're going to do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it. And the ends justify the means. If more than 50% survive, then it's a success. Now, I'm not even suggesting that's even close to what the damage will be to this. But I have a very fundamental question. Are children beagles? We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. That's the way it goes, says Dr. Rubin on the Food and Drug Administration panel. California is now mandating the vaccine for young children. I want you to imagine over 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. You can stop imagining because it's a reality. Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have shut down completely. Why? Because foreign meat is stealing their business and robbing you of the quality and flavor you deserve. That's why Good Ranchers is here. They exist to support local American farms and help you make great American meals. Together, they want you to restore the American ranch and your meals to their former glory. Get the beef, chicken, and seafood that cannot be imported or matched at goodranchers.com. Check it out right now, everybody. goodranchers.com/Charlie. American meat, it's terrific. Do not buy foreign meat. Did you know the product of USA tag has been stolen by foreign countries that hate us? They process their meat here and they label it like it came from America. Because of these labeling laws that favor foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed since 2015. Good Ranchers is here to put America first at the dinner table and the farmers that worked to raise the meat that we enjoy. So go to goodranchers.com/Charlie right now and get 10 free bistro fillets. And even better, subscribe to save $25 off each box of mouth-watering American meats for life that will show up on schedule right to your door. That's right, 10 free Bistro Filets, $100 value, and free express shipping if you go to goodranchers.com/Charlie or use code Charlie at checkout. That's 10 free Bistro Filets, free express shipping, and a $25 off your subscription for life. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Check it out, everybody. They do a wonderful job. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. I love our listeners. Freedom@CharlieKirk.com. Lisa emailed us, please repeat the study on kids. Okay, we'll write it up. I think we've wrote it up before on CharlieKirk.com. We'll do it again because it's super important. So let me go through it piece by piece. And welcome, everybody. If you haven't been listening earlier, Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. We are here. And I've just been told our venue in Oregon canceled. So we're finding out if anyone knows a venue that we could do an event in Central Oregon, let us know. If you have a big manufacturing plant or a church or something in University of Oregon area, Eugene, we would we'd be greatly appreciative of that as they have just canceled our event or a venue, I should say. We will not be deterred. Okay. Dr. McCary says, quote, my research team at Johns Hopkins has worked with the nonprofit FAIR, F-A-I-R, Health, to analyze approximately 48,000 children under the age of 18 diagnosed with COVID in health insurance data from April to August 2020. Our report found a mortality rate of zero among children without a pre-existing medical condition, such as leukemia. This comes from a Wall Street Journal piece, and the Wall Street Journal deserves credit. They have been pushing more, I would say, contrarian articles than I think most people would have expected out of the journal. And it says the flimsy evidence behind the CDC's push to vaccinate children. We're going to put all of this at charliekirk.com. We're going to put it up right now, and it'll be there very soon. Okay, so we now have the FDA panel that is approving the approved vaccine 17-0. Why would we mandate vaccines for children that are not at any sort of significant risk of dying from the virus? And the only explanation could be the regime of safetyism that has set in over suburban parents, not even just suburban parents, but it's mostly suburban parents, but parents across the country. I grew up in an America 10 years ago where America was becoming increasingly risk averse. I hear stories of my parents' generation and grandparents' generation where kids used to ride on the back of pickup trucks down dirt and rural roads. And you notice when people talk about this, there is kind of a nostalgia that sets in, that America was more free and parents used to say, be home at dark. Do parents still do that now? I mean, maybe they do. Maybe there's like a, hey, have fun, be home at dark. I'm going to tell you a story. We are here in Boise, Idaho. And hopefully going to Oregon next, we'll see if we can find a venue. We were about to get onto an elevator of a building in Boise, Idaho, and the elevator doors open and the woman's wearing a mask, which is fine. I've never attacked anyone for wearing a mask. And she says, excuse me, do not get on this elevator. Go take the next one. And I knew what she was saying. She wanted the elevator to herself. And one of our other team members was like, why? And she said, because none of you are masked. You see that? You see the way this works now? It's not enough that she wants to wear a mask. She wants to force other people so that she can also feel safe. And for her, the most important thing in her life is being safe. Being safe is important. It is an element of human life. There are risks that I am not willing to take. There's some things I tell my team. I'm not going to skydive. I'm not going to bungee jump. I don't think that's that dangerous, though. Bungee jumping? It could be, I guess. Depends where you do it. No skydiving, no bungee jumping, no more skiing. The last time I went skiing, everyone said I had a great time. Woke up in a hospital. It's a true story. Not doing that again. There's just some things I'm just not going to do. The risk-reward ratio, I don't want to end up kind of paralyzed from the waist down and be like, you know, my entire life has been disrupted but at least I got a good thrill bungee jumping. Like, it's just the reward. And I'm not I'm sure we have a lot of skydivers listening, and that's fine. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it's worth it. For me, I've decided not to do it. So I'm not someone that is a risk seeker for the sake of doing it. However, I want to live a full life. And walking around with a mask while natural immunity is set into well over 100 million people, I would imagine this woman who got very angry at us was vaccinated. It just kind of begs the question of where is the reasonable balance between safety and liberty? Where is the risk that we're going to allow people to participate in? And driving is really the best example, I have to say. There are well over 40,000 people that die on the road every single year, die in car accidents. We could limit that. We could lower that if we brought the speed limit down to 20 miles an hour on highways. America would be a much slower nation. You wouldn't get goods as fast. You wouldn't get to where you need to go as fast, but it would save lives. If we had a national campaign to bring speed limits down to 20 miles an hour and said, all cars, you are not able to go faster than 25 miles an hour. But we have decided collectively and through our social contract, even in the most liberal states like Massachusetts and California, that 70 and 80 mile an hour speed limits is worth the risk. It is worth having people be able to go faster for the reward of that. And also the downside that you might wake up one morning on a Saturday morning and all of a sudden you're going to hear news reports of kids that were going 95 miles an hour and died in a head-on collision. That happens far too often. 40,000 times a year, people die on the road. And none of us want to see that happen. We try to limit that through seatbelt laws and other things. And people try to conflate seatbelt laws with vaccine mandates. They're so completely different. I'm happy to dive into that a different time. It's not even worth it. But we've decided, okay, 20 mile an hour speed limits, people would get very frustrating. We want to be frustrated. We want to live in a society where you can go fast, you can get where you need to go, we could do so responsibly, and make your own fair decision. Tucker Carlson blasted the FDA panel, Cut 62, for approving Pfizer's vaccine of children. 17-0. And it's getting almost no pushback from the institutional press. Play Cut 62.
Just a few hours ago, an FDA panel issued emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine, this one aimed at children ages 5 to 11. Mandates for children of those ages will soon follow, no question. So what does the science say about this? Well, it turns out that children of those ages are more likely to die of the annual flu than they are from COVID. Of the 73 million children in this country, fewer than 700 have died of COVID. CDC data show that among the relevant age set, children 5 to 11, there have been nearly 2 million COVID cases, but only 138 deaths total. From March through October of last year, at the height of the pandemic, a child had a 1 in a million chance of dying from COVID. Right now, by contrast, kids are 10 times more likely to die of suicide. That's the actual pandemic raging among young people.
And yet no one wants to talk about the pandemic of suicide, self-harm, mental health issues. Instead, it's all about, I don't want them to get the Chinese coronavirus, even though there's evidence to show that the vaccine could be leaky and actually have the opposite effect. The regime of safetyism, everybody, is real. And guess what? Safetyism can be dangerous. It's the opposite. If you are too obsessed with being safe, you could actually live in a state of turmoil, torment, and danger. And again, I want to reemphasize this. I think that balance in life is important. I know plenty of people that take reckless risks, and sometimes it doesn't work out for them. There's nothing reckless about walking around without a mask, especially what we know what we're dealing with. In fact, there's evidence to show that if you have natural immunity, you're at a far better position than even people that are vaccinated. But no, instead, this is about social control. This is about programming people to be accustomed and willing to bend the knee to the Leviathan to worship and to submit to the medical, technological, and scientific state and never ask any questions. Eight things that children are more likely to die from than COVID. Cancer, significantly, almost 20 times more likely. Vehicle accident, suicide, homicide, cardiovascular disease, drowning, flu and pneumonia. We live in a world with numerous threats. It's part of existence. And there's also a false promise in safetyism too. There's a false promise, and you see this in the people that are vaccinated, which has always been one of my complaints about the way that they've been pushing the vaccine, is it gives people a false sense of security. And no one wants to talk about this. The false sense of security of someone who gets vaccinated, and then they believe they can resume regular life, and then all of a sudden they have a breakthrough case, and they don't know what to do. They thought they had the protection. They thought they had the same sort of protection that they would get from the measles, mumps, rubella, or polio vaccine. And all of a sudden, they get a breakthrough case, and they get caught by surprise. Maybe they would have made different social decisions. Maybe they wouldn't have gone to big gatherings. Maybe they would have handled things differently. Maybe they would have prepared themselves with azithromycin, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibody treatment centers, or aspirin. Instead, there is a false sense of security that comes in with the overemphasis of we as the government, we as the CDC, we as NIH, we as the medical industrial elite, we're going to protect you. And what it does is it erodes, what it does is it diminishes, it suppresses humans' own responsibility to take ownership of their actions. It's a false sense of security. When in reality, our leaders should have said, look, if you want to get this vaccine, fine. We're going to be very honest about what it can do, what it can't do. But also, if you get it, you better be ready to treat it. We're now 70% of all deaths in the United Kingdom are vaccinated people. Why? They had a false sense of security. Everybody, look, there are shortages all over the place. We are running out of stuff quickly. It's scary out there. We can't get fish sticks anymore, Sour Patch Kids, toilet paper, diapers. It's not a joke. People are going to suffer because of the malevolence and some would say the incompetence of this regime. I'm a prepper. So my wife and I were good because we know that calamity and chaos, it's coming. In fact, it's already here. With food shortages all across the country, it's a reality. We got to prepare for it. That's why we looked far and wide. We said, hey, on the Charlie Kirk Show, we want to partner with a company that knows how to prepare for you, doesn't rip you off. It's not one of those awful things that is like infomercials. No, these are real people. We know the owners, and they're my Patriot Supply. The smartest thing you could do right now is get a 3-month emergency food kit from my Patriot Supply. I have vetted them. I have boxes of their stuff at our home, because when things start to fall apart, we're going to be well fed at our home because we know that we have My Patriot Supply. You could save $100 right now on their 3-month emergency food kit just in time before all the panic. Literally, Pete Buttigieg is coming out and he's saying things are running out. Good luck. It'll be like Hunger Games, Lord of the Flies. But if you take advantage of my offer right now, you'll be well fed. You get 3 months worth of breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks over 2,000 calories a day. And since you're saving $100 per kit, get one for each member of your family. It's the best investment because I know you know deep down, things might end up looking like a third world country sometime soon. It's not good. But I'm able to offer you something with preparewithkirk.com, a wide variety of delicious foods. You won't get bored. So go to preparewithkirk.com. Save $100 per 3-month kit and you can't beat this price. Order now with preparewithkirk.com, and your food will ship fast. It arrives in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Save $100 on a 3-month emergency food kit today. Again, things are falling apart. Make sure you can feed your family. It's super easy. It also supports our show. So you kill 2 birds, 1 stone. Prepare for the chaos that's already here, and it's going to get worse, unfortunately. And also support our show, preparewithkirk.com. COVID-19 boosters, the U.S. Surgeon General says, could be like flu shots. Now, let's just talk about what's really going on here. It's time for us, every person listening to this, to question the medical industrial complex. Now, I keep on saying that phrase. What does that mean? Dwight D. Eisenhower, can we get that clip? You know what I'm talking about, where he warned about a scientific and technological elite. I'm a huge fan of Dwight D. Eisenhower. I believe Dwight D. Eisenhower is one of the most underrated presidents and definitely one of the most underrated Republican presidents in history. He oversaw kind of the Pax Romana period, the Pax Americana period of peace and prosperity. The baby boom happened under his watch, built the American Interstate Highway, was strong against our enemies internationally, was incredibly focused on trying to de-escalate military intervention where necessary. The Korean War is a separate issue for a separate time. But Dwight D. Eisenhower was a good leader. He was a great man. He's a good Kansas boy, too. Dwight D. Eisenhower spent some of his summers right south of Rapid City, South Dakota. I mean, that's a different topic for a different time. Dwight D. Eisenhower warned, though, that America can never and should never come under the clutches of the scientific and technological elite. And then he went on to warn us about the military-industrial complex. Many people know the phrase the military-industrial complex. Very few people know that he had equal warnings for what would happen if we live under the pressure and the suppression and the unquestioned power of people in charge in the scientific community. Mad scientists, unchecked by moral people, will run a country into chaos. Play cut 63.
But I will tell you that it's very possible that three shots might end up being the primary series that lasts for years. It's possible there may be regular boosters that are required, kind of like the flu shot on an annual basis. At this point, nobody knows for sure.
Now, I know a lot of you emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com, and you didn't believe what Dr. Rubin said. You said, no way that the guy that approved the vaccine for children said we don't know how safe it is. Oh, yeah? Cut 59. Dr. Rubin. We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. So just to make this crystal clear, if you allow your child to get vaccinated, the FDA panelist is admitting that your child is a living, breathing medical experiment, that your child is a human trial. Cut 59.
But we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes.
That's just the way it goes. Get used to it. That your child might experience myocarditis, might experience heart issues, but we'll know once we start to see the death toll. This is now the stated position of the scientists in charge of the Food and Drug Administration, on the panelists of the Food and Drug Administration. Who on earth would approve a vaccine 17-0 and then openly admit, we don't know how safe it is, but we'll find out. Now give us your children. Give us your 8-year-olds. Give us your 10-year-olds. Give us your 5-year-olds. And parents out there, by the way, millions of parents are willingly doing this. Like that woman I saw in the elevator. I guarantee you, she's marching her kids right into the vaccination clinic. Free your mind, everybody. Send this to your friends and say, are you comfortable with the FDA panelist saying this? Dwight D. Eisenhower, cut 65, warned us about an unelected scientific and technological elite. Now, this was Dwight D. Eisenhower's farewell address. He felt this was so important. He wanted this to be the last thing he said publicly as President of the United States. Cut 65.
Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
Scientific and technological elite. Dwight D. Eisenhower says, we appreciate science, but we as an American society cannot be held hostage by an unelected scientific and technological ruling class. We're living under that right now. The 17 people that pass this on the FDA and then say, we have to vaccinate your children to find out what's in it. Parents out there, get the information that we just described in this. We'll post this entire episode on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. This is one of the most important issues. Your children are not lab rats. Push back against this. It's going to take courage and conviction. It's one of the most important issues happening in our country right now. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.